Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. I'm your host, Roy Richards. And today we turn our attention to relationships on the job with your boss, your customers, coworkers, and those who report to you. Are you being eaten alive on the job? A boss who gives you unrealistic assignments and timetables that are ridiculous and then yells at you when the work is not completed? By coworkers who are lazy and take advantage of you and expect you to do all the work and carry the load? How about colleagues who stab you in the back every chance they get and take credit for work that you actually did? How about difficult customers? Most of us who own a small business or deal with the public know this kind of customer, those that take about 95% of your time and maybe give you 5% of your business because they always want something more. How about subordinates? If you're a boss, a manager, or an executive, subordinates who complain and challenge every assignment you give them, and then they demand a raise. Well, our guest today is here to help you regain power and control over your workday with her Business Insider Secrets. And our guest is Carrie Hart, former CIO and Vice President for major corporations. She's currently an independent management consultant and has the Pathfinder Healing Practice and has helped thousands find their path and reach greater peace. And she's been sharing her spiritual journey online since 1999, which means she's a real internet pioneer. She's author of the book, A Call to Greatness, The Exciting, Joyous Journey Your Soul Wants You to Take. And she has three of the most imaginative, inspirational websites I've ever seen, but more about that later. In her spare time, she's a singer and songwriter with three albums of original music that you can buy online. And I guess occasionally she takes a little bit of time out for sleep. Hello, Carrie, and welcome to
Hi,
Middle
Roy.
Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, in an early chapter of your book, you talk about working for a boss that was featured in Fortune magazine as one of the worst bosses ever. And so that listeners will feel better about their own bosses, can you briefly tell us what this experience was like and some of the things that CEO used to put you through?
Oh my goodness. Well, she would do things like, she was primarily on the East Coast, and we were on the West Coast in another division, and so every so often she would fly out in her private jet, you know. And so she would arrange for us all to be, tell us we all needed to be in at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning, and then she would saunter in around 11.
Oh, that's real nice.
Things like that. And then we were in a meeting on a Friday afternoon once, and she had flown out, and she said, well, my jet doesn't leave until midnight tonight, so we might as well work until then.
Oh, yeah. Don't have anything really to do.
So you might as well all just work until then.
I like the story where you said she had you fly 5 hours from L.A. to New York and then refused to meet with you or something.
Right. And then you just sit and cool your heels and... right, exactly. There was one person that went there and spent the entire week, every day he'd come in and he'd say, is she ready to see me yet? And her assistant would say, no. And he'd say, well, fine, then I'll just go see the sights of New York, right?
Yeah.
He said, no, no, you have to wait right here.
Yeah, because she might decide that she has...
Right, she might decide it's time to
you.
See you.
Yeah.
Right, and then finally on Friday, after a week of this, her assistant came out and said, oh, she doesn't need to meet with you after all.
It sounds more like the torture boss of some kind of a gulag or something.
Well, she was written up actually twice, two years running in Fortune magazine as
and the company was actually successful with a CEO like that. That's kind of hard to
believe. Not ultimately, but for many years. And ultimately, they were not. But
what triggered your personal transformation and motivated you to get out of that stressful lifestyle so that you became an independent management consultant and a spiritual advisor on your own terms? Was there one thing that challenged you to do that, or how did that
Well, what happened to me is what often happens to people is they have a traumatic event in their lives that just opens the door. That's what I found is that oftentimes it's when you're lying flat on the ground that you see the gates open.
Yeah.
And in my case, it was that very same place. What happened is she brought in a new person who decided to bring in his own people, and after all of that torture that I'd gone through, they let me go.
Oh, yeah, that was very similar to my experience when I was an executive years ago, and the parent company got taken over, and then they changed presidents of our company, and then he wanted his own CFO, and I was out the door.
Right.
And I've been thankful ever since.
Exactly. But it is very traumatic at the time.
Yes, and about 5 years later, that company went down the tubes because it was an insurance company. They put a lot of bad business on the books. And, you know, you can grow so fast and you look okay for a while until the actuaries get in there and figure out just how bad the business is.
Right. Well, her company did eventually go bankrupt, too, so... These things take a while to manifest,
true.
But eventually they come around that way.
I don't think any really bad boss like that exceeds long term when they bully the people and just make them feel like dirt.
Yeah.
Well, if you work for someone else, what does the boss really want from you, and how can you advance in your career by capitalizing on this secret?
Well, do you know I have a bunch of secrets.
Yeah.
But one thing that someone told me once that was just a beautiful piece of advice said that what your boss asks you to do needs to be your first priority. And what is interesting is that what I observed with her and observe all the time is that oftentimes people in management say exactly what they want, and then the people that are supposed to carry that out go back to their desks and they start to do it, and then they say, well, you know, she says she needs the budget numbers, but, gee, so-and-so's computer's broken, and I really need to go help them, and so they don't, in fact, deliver what they were asked to do. Sometimes it's that simple. And one of the things I think you need that I noticed with her and that I see all the time in the workplace is that people really don't listen.
Yeah, that's true. They're all really on their own agendas and they have their own little projects, and it's awfully difficult sometimes to disrupt what you may have been working on because your boss wants something different. But I can see what you're saying. The highest priority should be to respond to that need.
Well, you know, you have to, and I think one of the reasons that, I mean, you have to if you're going to do well in work. You really do. And I think one of the reasons that people don't pay attention to what they were actually asked to do is they decide that it's not as important as what they want to do or as something else. And they make that decision, though, unfortunately, without having any insight into where the boss is really coming from. Because as you know, from an executive point of view, you are privy to information that isn't widely known and that you can't share.
Yeah, they may not see the big picture that your boss sees, and you may think that your little project that you were working on before is more important, and maybe it really isn't.
Yeah, exactly. You make your own decision this is what's really important, and you don't know the big picture that's a line of business they're about to drop.
Yeah.
Right? And they're asking you to focus on something else that is might be not important now, but is going to be. So
yeah, that's a real good point. But, well, no matter how stressful or frustrating your current job is, what are some initial steps that you can take to reclaim some degree of power and control over your workday? How should I begin? How should you begin to assert control?
Well, control isn't really the word I would use for what you
probably
want. Because, in fact, you can't gain control.
No. Well, you can control your own attitude to some degree.
You
That's,
can
I guess,
do
what
that.
I
mean. You absolutely can do that. I think that one of the other things that we see in the workplace all the time is that people don't just speak directly. They talk about things.
Yeah.
Like, you see people all the time complaining about the way things are, but they won't actually stand up and speak to the person that's causing the problem.
Yeah, that's so true.
And there's so much personal growth to be gained by living in integrity. And I think that there are two things that I think are fabulous rules to live by in the workplace. And one of them is easy, which is criticize privately and praise publicly.
Oh, yeah.
As if you have something to say to someone that is going to make them feel criticized, don't do it in front of anyone else.
No, never do that.
But the other one is to have the courage to actually speak directly to people. And you can use a rule for yourself, which is, don't speak about anyone. Don't say anything about someone that you haven't already said to them directly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And if you follow that rule, of course, that means you can't gossip, right?
Yeah.
which is a horrible thing that happens at work, the gossip.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. The grapevine around the water cooler and all that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. And so, but the thing is, it's amazingly difficult for most people to actually walk up to someone and say, may I speak to you, take them off privately and say, you know, it really makes me feel bad when you call me out in front of my coworkers.
Yeah.
And doing that, in fact, is so unusual because people are so hesitant to be direct.
Yeah.
And doing it is so unusual that it usually has great impact.
Yeah, you know, I had a personal experience like that years ago. My boss was on vacation. This wasn't very high up. He was just a manager, and I was one of the analysts working for him. But he took about 3 days off, and he came back, and we hadn't completed a project that he had wanted to be done when he got back. And he sat us down. We only had about a 3 or 4 person department. It wasn't very large, but he started pointing fingers and, why didn't you get, who screwed up here, why didn't we get this done? And I looked him in the face and I said, the fact is we didn't get it done. The fact is we can get it done today. Let's stop concentrating on what we did wrong and concentrate on how we're going to get the project done now. And, you know, after that, he was always a lot more thoughtful and kind to me than he had been in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Even these people that seem like tyrants, if you speak to them directly, and it does. It has an amazing effect.
And if you speak to them directly, but not just strictly a complaint, offering some suggestions along the way of how you can be more helpful rather than just, quit picking on me, that kind of thing.
Oh, no, right. Of course, of course. That's right. I always, that was another rule I didn't think of. And that is that when you go to talk to your boss about something, if you have a problem, you always have to bring a proposed solution.
Yeah, that's very true.
And if you do that, or at least one proposed solution, you could have alternatives as well.
Yeah.
But just bringing a problem isn't really productive.
No, especially if you bring a lot of problems. You then considered the complainer that.
Right, exactly. Whereas if you bring the problem and a solution, then you're the hero. Then you're the one that's helpful. And you know what your boss really wants is for you to make their life easier, not harder.
Yes, that's very true. That's probably the one thing that every boss wants more than anything else, is to, you know, someone he can depend on to give an assignment and get that assignment done and be supportive and not, you know, somebody that's over the wheel that's always squeaking that wants attention.
Yeah.
All the wrong reasons.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that the boss wants that people don't remember to do is to ask for priorities. If someone asks you to do something and you have five other things that you're in the middle of doing, it's completely valid and, in fact, exactly what you should do to say, oh, all right, fine, I'd be happy to do that. I have these other five things. Can you tell me what out of all this is the most important?
Yeah, that's the way to handle that point you brought up originally of what the boss wants when he gives you this new assignment on top of all the other assignments you have, to ask for the priorities in a nice manner, and that makes a lot of sense, both for you and for him or her.
Right, and then what is really frustrating is the... If from a boss's perspective, is when the employee is just harboring all these ill feelings or trying. Like I had someone once that was, that because he wouldn't speak up and just say,
yeah,
I need a priority on this.
Yeah.
Or speak up and say, you know, I encountered a difficulty here.
Yeah.
And this is going to be late. You said it was really critical at this time, but I can see it's going to be late. And what you want, of course, is to have someone come forth as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And say, oh, dear, you said you need this tomorrow. We have I only have half a day right now. I can see that I'm not going to make it. While you still have the option to jump in and help.
Yeah. That's,
reassign
that's...
someone else to assist.
Yeah, it's much better to tell beforehand rather than just miss the deadline. And,
oh, yes.
You know, like, sit there like everything's going along fine, and then when it comes time to turn in the project, you're only half done.
Yes, this is not the way to get ahead.
Well, what
and
is
so
that?
Everything that we're saying is really just have direct relationships, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Just make it really clear and direct and not emotional, just,
yeah.
Oh, okay, here's my workload, here's what's going on. What would you like me to do?
Yeah. Well, what are the most common ways that men and women give away their power at work, and how can they avoid those mistakes?
Well, now we're talking about power. As you know, Roy, I'm a big believer in personal power built on a foundation of connection to spirit.
Yes, that's right.
And when I say spirit, you can substitute any word that you like creator, God, source, the great all, the light that runs through all of us, whatever it is that you connect to as spirit. And the fact is that all of the answers are there within you. And if you develop your way of connecting to those answers. I'll give you an example. I had a situation once at work. This was back, we were in having to redo all the computer systems for the year 2000. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah,
that
infamous Y2K.
That's right. So we had this huge project to redo all these old computer systems that just had the two-digit year, and we had to go to a four-digit year, and it was a big deal. And so we had all these people had their assignments, and there was this one group that was not my group that I felt they were heading the wrong direction, right?
No.
And so what I wanted to do was go in and say, you aren't doing this right, and you ought to switch over and do it this way, and things like that. And, you know, in general, cause some trouble. And then what I decided to do, though, because I was on my spiritual journey by that time, so I knew better. So I found a quiet space and... Now, mind you, I've been practicing this, so it was easy. I could do it under stressful circumstances.
Yeah.
But I had to breathe down and get into the pocket, get into that place. And then I asked my favorite question, which to ask spirit when you're in that place, which is, how shall I handle this?
Yeah.
Just a nice open-ended, how shall I handle this situation?
Yeah.
And the answer that came to me was completely different than where my busy mind was going.
Huh.
The answer that came to me was, do your own project and let
yeah.
theirs be.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that is, in general, excellent advice for the workplace.
Yeah, that's
just
probably true.
Do
yeah.
your own work. And so often, you know, you see people in the workplace that are scattered, that
yeah.
seem to be concerned about everybody else's work.
Yeah.
And then their own is sitting there not done.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So, but I was bringing that up as an example of how the guidance that you get from your very busy, hectic mind
yeah.
is different than what you will get if you develop techniques to go reach into spirit, or you could just even say reach into your own intuition, which is in fact the same thing.
Yeah.
And you'll get much smarter advice.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And it also tends to be much more respectful of other people.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not too different from what we always talk about. Be CEO of you. Basically, mm-hmm. Consult yourself and that inner self, and let that direct your activities rather than just, you know, being a leaf in the wind of the what's going on around
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and I think, see, the thing is our minds, there is some quotation, I don't know who said it, which was, it said, the mind makes an excellent servant, but a very poor master.
Well, that's a good point.
It is. And the thing is that you can tell the difference between what I call your ego mind
yeah.
and the part of you that's connected to spirit. You can tell that difference because your ego mind is always comparing. It's always comparing and judging. It's always saying, this is better than that. This is good. This is bad. That person is getting ahead and I'm not.
That person's making more money than me, even though you're making
exactly.
$5 million a year. You find out somebody else is making $7 million a year.
Well, I was never at a level where I was concerned with those dollars.
No, I'm not. Certainly wasn't either. I read about some years ago in the journal, I think, I read about some Wall Street brokers back in the high-flying around 2000 that got very jealous because their bonuses were less than somebody in some competing firms in that $5 to $7 million range or something.
Isn't that crazy? See, now that's a perfect example, though. Your ego mind would worry about that.
Yeah, because
what,
your
he got
ego
paid
says,
$7 million,
I'm not worth.
And I only got paid $5 million.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were to take that question and get very relaxed, breathe down, open yourself to spirit and say, how shall I handle this? Of course the answer is going to be delighted to have $5 million.
Yeah.
Of course.
I wouldn't
right?
mind that.
So what I would love it if your listeners did is learn how to access that. And what all it takes is to spend a few minutes every morning.
Oh, I see.
And you can. There are a lot of different things you can do. One, of course, is meditation.
Yeah.
And I actually, if I may, tell you about my I Am This website.
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention that later, but
yeah,
tell us about it now.
What I do, it's IamThis.com, is
and that, by the way, is I-am-this.com.
Oh, yes, you're right. That is important.
So that people can find it.
Yeah, and what I do is I lead a daily empowerment, and I use shaman techniques. So we spend
yeah.
20 minutes with Princess Featherlight.
Oh.
And Princess Featherlight brings, sometimes we have an energy treatment, and she just works on the energy in your body
oh,
and aligning everything and balancing you. And by the time she's through, at the end of this 20 minutes, you feel so relaxed and centered. And so it's a combination of working with your energy, and she also, though, sometimes there are spiritual lessons.
Oh.
And like one that's been coming up lately, which is interesting for your listeners in the workplace,
yeah.
is that when you're feeling annoyed and you get that emotion that kind of like you know, that feeling of, oh, why is this happening to me? Oh, this person drives me crazy.
I've been there and done that a few
times. That what is really happening in that moment is you're resisting. You're resisting the moment.
That's right.
And it's a spiritual law that what you resist persists. What you resist persists.
That's good.
And so when you go into that place of resistance, then it causes that condition to continue. And what you need to do instead is go into a place. You have two other choices besides resistance.
Yeah.
One is acceptance.
Yeah.
Where you can just say, well, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
This is
That's
the way
awfully
this person
tough to do that.
I know. But if you spend each morning getting centered, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
And the other one is act, of course. You can take action. So you can either accept or act, or you can resist.
Yeah.
And the acceptance and the action both tend to resolve
the
situation.
Resistance really gets you nowhere, generally.
Nowhere. And I'm starting, because Princess Featherlight has been emphasizing this lately, I'm starting to be really conscious of resistance. So if I walk into a place to grab a quick sandwich and there's a long line and I notice my body kind of tighten up.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, and I stop and say, all right, it's a long line. I can accept this, or I could act and turn around and go. But I'm beginning to see how much, and you know, it's hard on your body, that tightening up.
Yeah.
Over time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The studies have shown that
really
wears
you down.
Stress can really wear you down and cause other physical problems.
And the studies have also shown that meditation lowers blood pressure, gets you out of stress, and it's just spending that time. And you can even spend less time. There's how I started opening up my intuitive senses was a really fun exercise. Of just sitting down, and usually sit in the same spot so your body's attuned to it and knows that this is our time that we're going to go into a meditative state. And then you can breathe down. What I learned was if you're too tense to just take a few breaths and get into the pocket, you can breathe down while counting so that you can say, breathe in, as you're saying this mentally, breathe in, 10, 10, 10, out, 10, 10, 10, and then down to 9, 8, and all the way down, so that when you get to 1, after you finish 1, then you picture a beautiful placid lake with one little bird flying overhead. And if you do that every day, your body picks up on those clues, right? And you just sit down in that same place at the same time of day, and you start that breathing and countdown, and after those 10 breaths, you're there.
You know, that sounds like a great way to start the day, and so many people figure they just don't have the time to do that, but all you have to do is get up, say, 20 minutes earlier or whatever, however long it takes, and you can do something like that before you start your day.
Now, this, doing what I just talked about, doesn't take 20 minutes. I mean, a 20-minute meditation is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But you can also just simply breathe down, and then what you want to do is have pen and paper next to you.
Oh.
And when you get yourself to that place, and after you do this enough, you'll recognize what I mean by that place. Your body feels different.
Yeah.
You're in a different place. And this is your opportunity to access spirit. And you can do it in a couple of ways. You can start out, how I started out, was just asking for a word for the day. And I'd say, what's my word for the day?
Oh.
And a word would pop into my mind. And then it would happen in the funniest way. Sometimes it would give you, you'd find yourself later in the day in a difficult circumstance, and that word would come to you. Say, oh, okay. Once I had a really funny thing, a boss of mine that I was having some trouble with, and the word for the day in the morning was compassion. And I thought, what? that's strange. And then I had a meeting with her later in the day, and I walked in, and she had a stone, one of those little stones sitting on her desk, and it had the word compassion on it. And I thought, oh, okay, Spirit's just showing off.
Yeah.
Just showing up. Anyway, so what you do after you breathe down, you ask your questions. You can start with a word for a day. And eventually what you want to gravitate to, you want to get to the place where you are saying, how shall I handle this situation? In that open way that brings in the guidance. And then you write down the very first words that come to you before your busy mind takes over.
Yeah, that's I see what you're saying there.
Yeah, because what happens is intuition speaks in a whisper, and fear speaks in a really loud yell, you know.
Yeah, that's
and so you, and our minds also, as I say, you'll get a flash of intuition, like we do all the time, get flashes of intuition, but you can learn to ask for them.
Oh, I see.
And it's the same as your flash that you get later, except that you can ask for it specifically and ask for advice. How shall I handle this?
Well, in a different subject, in your promo, you suggest taking a lion to work the next time you face your overbearing boss. And what, in fact, do you mean by identifying and working with power animals? Should I head for the local zoo or what?
Well, as I said, I use shaman techniques. And a shaman is a person who can get into an altered state and reach spirit. And a shaman also works with power animals. And what this is, if you think about it, animals are such beautiful archetypes in that when you say a lion, first off, the picture of a lion will come to your mind.
Yeah.
And you know what a lion is like. You know what those characteristics are of courage and confidence and, well, and beauty and just owning yourself. And back to your question about power, well, one of the things that you can do if you're feeling powerless is bring in the spirit of a great animal. And, of course, a lion is a great animal for going in if you're about to go talk to someone that is overbearing.
Yeah.
And you can, when you go, well, you can get your power animals, well, I'm sorry, let me finish my sentence. So you can take that lion spirit in with you, and you go and talk to someone, and you're so full of confidence that
you open
can
the conversation by going, rawr! Like the MGM lion.
You can. There are other characteristics, of course. Like I love panther energy too.
Yeah.
What a panther does is a panther gets up on the branch very patiently and waits. And a panther is just a master of timing.
Yeah.
Very patiently wait. And you can bring in panther energy when you have to be in a patient waiting state.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
Then you can wait until just the right moment and then pounce.
Yeah.
So you said that you visited my power animal site.
Yeah, that was very unique. There's like a little symbol. You move around on the website and you point a certain part in the forest and that a particular animal will surface and give you a message. I really love that.
Yeah. So one of the main reasons that I did that website is that although I encourage everyone to train themselves to reach their answers by going into peace and quiet, there are times when you really can't do that.
Yeah.
When things are too distracting, or you just haven't spent enough time yet to be able to use your intuitive senses that strongly. But they are there. And so the purpose of my website, and it's called Power Animals Unleashed, and there's also a shortcut of just POW33, which is easier to remember, POW33.com. And is that I want people to use their intuition to click the mouse. And then the answer to your problem or the resolution to a relationship that's difficult the situation, what you do is before you go, before you click in the Enchanted Forest, you want to think about what your intention is. What's your question? Where is it that you need some help? Oh. Or just what animal, is there a message for me from a power animal? And then you just relax, and again, you just breathe until you're nice and relaxed, and when it feels right, you click, and then up comes the answer.
Yeah, that I think I called on the eagle.
Ooh, the eagle, that's beautiful energy, huh?
Yeah, that was good. Well, could you summarize for us the four intuitive senses and how you can use those to know how to best handle any situation at work? Because it's a, I know you mentioned that there are like four intuitive senses you should call on.
Absolutely. You have, and these are natural senses, you'll recognize these. These are, you have all of them in some degree, but your intuitive senses are like any other sense that you have. Some people have 20/20 vision. Some people have acute hearing. You know, so you, as an individual, will have some of these intuitive senses will be really strong and some less so. And what I would advise you to do is always use your strongest.
Yeah.
Learn how to use your strongest, and then the others will all improve along the way.
Oh, right.
So your basic intuitive senses are, you might be a feeler. So you have an intuitive sense of feeling, which is in your solar plexus, in your stomach.
Yeah.
In your center. And an example of intuitive feeling is you walk into a room and you know that an argument just took place, even though nothing's going on at the moment.
Yeah, you can sense the tension in the air.
Right,
exactly.
You feel the tension in the air. And if you are a strong intuitive feeler, you pick up from, it can be difficult to hold your own, to hold your own space together, because you're so open to all of these feelings coming at you from other people. I mean, their energy can be overwhelming to a feeler.
Yeah.
And you know people like that, that you see that they're just kind of like twisting in the wind a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
And understanding it can help you. And you can also physically shield yourself. Like if you step behind something, step behind a desk, for instance, it will break that energy a little bit. And the part of you that you really want to protect is your solar plexus, is your center.
Yeah.
And that's why people cross their arms over their center.
Oh, yes.
Right?
When they're resistant to something, you
exactly.
always see them crossing
feeling,
their arms in a meeting.
That's right. When they're feeling energy they don't want to have enter them, they cross their arms over their center to protect themselves.
The other reason
energy.
People do that is when they're overweight and they don't want to see people to see their big bellies.
Well,
I've
that's true
that
too.
Also.
That's true too. Now, another intuitive sense is one that's very famous, if you will, which is the intuitive sense of seeing. But that involves several different things. You might have an important dream that in which you see something.
Yeah.
Some people see auras. They can see energy around people, and people that are really, really good at that can actually see different colors. And and then, of course, we can visualize. But if you ask a question, when you say, how shall I handle this, and you're in the place, and you're a strong in intuitive seeing, you may get a picture as an answer instead of a word.
Yeah.
A picture that flashes up that gives you the information you need. And intuitive seeing, too, one thing you can do is you can use it in your own head to make important choices. You can see, just close your eyes and visualize two paths. And so you say, okay, this path to the left is if I take this job.
Yeah.
And the path to the right is if I take this other job. And what you will find if you're strong in intuitive seeing is one of those will be lighter, brighter, going up, and the other will be going down and dark.
You don't want to go on that path.
And then the other two intuitive senses, one, the third one is intuitive hearing.
Yeah.
And this is can be, you have to learn to differentiate intuitive hearing from your own thinking if you think a lot in words. But after a while, this is where if I go down into my space and access spirit and my intuitive senses and I ask a question and that answer comes to me in words.
Oh,
and then you write down the words. So
yeah.
Starting out with a word for the day is a really good way to open up your intuitive sense of hearing. Now, if that doesn't work for you, then it's just not your strongest sense. So work with the others. And the last one is a sense of knowing.
Oh.
And that's centered in the crown of your head. And, you know, people that are knowers just have these flashes, right? They just suddenly know something. And they can't explain why. And they couldn't lay it out rationally because often what your intuitive sense tells you is truth isn't at all what other people are saying, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But you know when you've done this, we've all experienced ignoring our sense of knowing and regretting it later, is every time you say, I knew I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, I would think you'd have to be careful in that knowing to keep the intuition away from what your brain is, your conscious thoughts are telling you should happen.
Exactly. And that's the thing is we're all... our society doesn't really honor the intuition as much as it might.
Yeah.
And so when you're younger, you're trained out of these things, and you get in the habit of ignoring that voice and that feeling and that knowing.
Yeah.
And but we all have experienced paying the price for that.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, like you say, when you say, I knew I shouldn't have done that, and you
right.
did it anyway because... your rational mind said, oh, this is the thing to do, or your teacher told you to do it, or, you know.
Exactly.
Well, tell us a little about your book, A Call to Greatness, The Exciting Journey Your Soul Wants You to Take. Is that primarily your personal experience?
That's exactly what it is. I started out on my spiritual path, as we explained, through the loss of that job, which was, in fact, a horrible job.
I got such a kick out of, I mean, obviously you experienced it. It wasn't funny, but just seeing anyone that self-absorbed and such a rotten boss like that.
So I began actually... my spiritual journey, I began with an exploration of the intuitive senses. And in my book, I explain more about these four senses and how to practice and open them up. And that was my entree into my journeys into spirit, in that what happened was that after I started with my word for a day and then asking for advice, and then what happened over time was... I started getting very lengthy messages, and one day I said, the voice, it sounded a little different, and I said, who is this? And the answer was, Quado, I am Quado. And that
that's another website. You have Quado's Garden, which is Quado, and there's some very interesting messages on that as well.
Right, that's another way to start your day.
Yeah.
To go to quado.com and get a message for the day along with a rose from my garden. And they're always loving, inspirational messages. And they're all things, messages that came to me. For many years, I went every day down to the garden and got a message from Quado, and then I would come back and post it on the website.
You know, I think that's such a great example you make in that book that... you know, you're facing turmoil and stress at work, and you took a unique approach by examining your own spirit and going that direction rather than just sitting there and fighting against the urge to quit. And
Well, do you know, the thing that is so interesting is that as you get older, the rewards from our society get less.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
But the rewards from spirit get greater.
Yeah.
And what happens is it's easier. It's easier to access spirit after you've been around for a while.
Yeah, and we keep urging people to, you know, quit striving when they're in their 40s and 50s for things that they don't really need anymore, and to address that spiritual need and to address the things that they really enjoy doing. But
that's right.
So what
that's
if you're right. at a plateau at work and you're not going to go any higher? If you can concentrate your activities on things you like to do and talk to your boss, obviously, about that, but focus on things that you enjoy. There's no reason you can't enjoy every day at work, even though you're not, and no longer being on that train, that power train upwards. It takes a lot of the pressure off when you're not constantly competing to
That's
get
right.
higher.
Well, as you know from having had an executive background as well, being an executive is the hardest thing.
Yes,
it is so stressful.
Yeah, there's so many other people on your shoulder that you need to bring along, and then you have to do unpleasant things in terms of personnel actions and all these kind of things.
It is just so stressful. So not being in that high executive position can be a really good thing.
Yeah.
But the thing is about the spiritual journey is it's exciting. It's fun.
Yeah.
Like when you open up your intuitive senses and you start asking for guidance and start having conversations with spiritual entities,
yeah.
And you may think, oh, am I going crazy? But you know, in fact, you're not.
Huh.
It's just opening up yourself to another dimension that you kept kind of clamped down when you were pushing and striving as
yeah.
a youngster, right?
Yeah,
and
that's
so,
true.
So you open yourself up to this, and it's a beautiful, fun adventure.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your life is fun again.
Yeah,
and
that's
adventurous, and you, if you pay attention to your intuition, you will get the best practical advice as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
It isn't just out there spirit. It's practical advice.
Yeah. You know, in your, we're just about out of time, but in your book and on your website, you make a wish that ties so precisely in with our message that I wanted to read it for the listeners.
Okay.
You said, if I could have my wish, everyone would greet the dawn with joy and anticipation, looking forward to a day full of mystery, laughter, and fun, using their amazing intuitive and creative gifts in everything that they do, and they would shine out with their unique greatness as a natural part of who they are. And in a very eloquent form, that's the same thing we've been encouraging you over the past year of this program. Wake up at midlife to the joyful, adventuresome, and productive life that you fully deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly congratulate you on that that statement that you have there in your book, because it's a, you know, and if you concentrate on the spirit and the grounding of where you want to be and where you're going, you can have that, and you can have anticipate a mystery, laughter, and fun on work days as well as just the weekends.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if everyone could get someone to pay you to have a good time, which is basically what we're talking about here in the consider each day rather than a stressful, pressure-filled situation. You're grounded enough that you can really make it as an adventure and have fun doing it. That would be my wish for everyone that listened in.
Perfect.
And give them which website would you recommend they go to first of your many websites?
Well, I would love people to go to IamThis.com and join up and join in the daily empowerment. That's I-AM-This.com. And, of course, you need to get a power animal.
Yeah.
It's such fun.
Yeah.
And that one, the short name is POW33.com.
Yeah.
Or the longer, PowerAnimalsUnleashed.com.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's that Quado.com, which I think is worthwhile, too. That's
yes,
Quado.com. So
that's
why don't
right.
you try all those? And while you're doing it, why don't you go to our website, www.middleagerenewal.com, and there you can obtain a free gift and a preview of my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up. And thank you so much for being with us today, Carrie. And
I had a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, and by the way, you can also get Carrie's CDs. You can download, I think, 99 cents a song or something like that. And,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's out on CarrieHart.com.
So check that out, too. And thank you so much for joining us today, Carrie.
Thank you, Roy.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.